Welcome to the October 2006 edition of Judd's New England Journal, the rather curious monthly musings of Judson Hale, the editor-in-chief of Yankee Magazine, published for 71 years in Dublin, New Hampshire. It's not easy to believe in ghosts. Perhaps the main difficulty is convincing the skeptics. Now, with Halloween coming along at the end of this month, it's time for ghost stories again. Over the years, we've heard dozens of them, all supposedly true. But you know, some are not easily explained. For instance, the late Dr. James Huntington, a Boston obstetrician who gave his 18th century house called Firth Acres in Hadley, Massachusetts to the Porter Phelps Huntington Foundation, which maintains it today, he was absolutely convinced of the existence of a ghost in his house. Quote, "I have seen in the moonlight in the small hours of the night a latch rise and the door silently open." He often told people that, including my uncle, Rob Sagendorf, who was founder of Yankee Magazine, 1935. He suggested it was the ghost of Elizabeth Porter, returning to look for her father, who was killed in the French and Indian War. He maintained the door would open no matter how securely it had been bolted, swore to it. Over the years, we've published in Yankee Magazine several articles on the so-called presence atop Mount Washington. In the weather station buildings up there, it has lifted curtains off their hooks, tossed them on the floor, pushed a man off the precipitation measurement platform. Of course, he could have fallen off. Made footstep sounds in an empty hall, all sorts of things. One October Yankee writer, Austin Stevens, went up there to investigate and returned convinced that almost all the people stationed on Mount Washington during the fall and winter have at times experienced, quote, "a force, a curious, watchful, malevolent force." During the early years of the 20th century, New Englanders even went through what might be called a spiritual craze. It featured such things as psychic photographs, in which faces of dead people, usually relatives, would pop up in the negatives of otherwise ordinary family photographs. My maternal grandmother frequently attended Boston gatherings in which a medium in a trance would serve as a go-between for spirits, mostly Indians, oddly enough, who would speak to and answer questions from those assembled. In my experience, most New Englanders react to these sorts of stories in a rather blasé manner. Quote, "Well now, maybe there's something to it, you never know." That's a typical summation by someone who has just been subjected to a, quote, "true ghost story," unquote, filled with an avalanche of ghostly happenings, none of which could possibly be explained except by saying they were all manifestation of the supernatural. Quote, "The vase simply rose for no reason at all, about 2 or 3 feet above our fireplace mantel." A young woman who lived in Stoddard, New Hampshire, house that was said to be haunted, earnestly explained to my Uncle Rob and me one day, quote, "And then it suddenly dropped to the brick hearth and broke into 1,000 pieces. I saw it with my own eyes. Nothing bumped the vase or was even near it. There was no wind, no earthquake, nothing. Now how can you explain that? It had to be our ghost," unquote. Uncle Rob's reaction was as sympathetic as he could make it. Well now, he said, "maybe there's something to it, you never know." The young woman, no doubt frustrated by Rob's mild response, rolled her eyes upward and sighed deeply. I sympathized. It's not easy to believe in ghosts.